This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I hope y'all doing all right. Your kids, your parents, and everyone. Before we go any further into this conversation, I'd like to give a little precision. I understand that for some of you, it might be a little awkward that I'm pulling up today with a different language. Well, I will explain myself. Here's the thing. I have noticed that my audience has started to diversify. Since I started this thing, it took me a while to realize it, but now people are listening to me from all over the world. First, it was just in Africa, mainly French-speaking countries. Then it was France, Belgium. And then it was in Asia, China, Japan, then it was in England. Then it hit me. Manhood has no nationality, and no matter how different we are, well, all men in the world will be facing the same challenges. How to be better at being a man, especially in this era where it's so difficult to be us. Therefore, I have decided to make my content as broadly available as I can, as far as my linguistic abilities can stretch. So, me pulling up here speaking English is the result of that observation. I'm not sure yet how this whole thing is going to play out, but I promise you that we'll make it work together. All I know is I need y'all to be the best possible versions of yourselves. And furthermore, I have the solid and vivid intuition that I can participate into the resume of your greatness as full-fledged man. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why I'm risking the ridicule of not being able to pull this off. Over the past couple weeks, we've been touching on topics that are extremely relevant to men. Now, I suppose you understand that I cannot go back to translate each of those episodes in English. So, what I'd rather offer as an alternative is that if any of you gentlemen or ladies feel interested in the topic that has been discussed before, regardless of the language it has been formally been produced in, well, you let me know in the comments what episode you want me to do in the corresponding language, and I'll try to do it. Every 2 or 3 weeks, I'll check in the comments and pick the topic that is wanted the most, and we'll do it in the corresponding language. That means if I formally did it in French, then I will reproduce the episode in English. If I formally did it in English, then I'll reproduce the episode in French, and so on. All right, now let's jump in it for now. We've got a lot to address today, don't we? Today, we'll be talking about self-love. Now, the reason why I have decided to touch on the topic as an introduction to the English marathon is because it is a topic that encompasses most of the criteria for being a man that we have discussed so far. What is self-love? I will go off the mind here and say that that is a question most of us have never asked, either to ourselves or to each other, because we assume that we know the answer and we truly act upon the assumption by being rude, selfish, condescending, idiotic, and profoundly self-centered. But what is the true belief hidden behind the promotion of loving the self? I believe a greater power than most of us human beings believe and trust would not advise us to love the self if it was so destructive and abusive and dangerous. Now, would it? Before we can even understand what self-love is, I believe we first must step back a notch and wonder what love is, because this looks like the most loaded part of the whole concept. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. What is love? I believe without a shadow of a doubt that each one of you, ladies and gentlemen, will be able to tell me that love is the second most potent emotion right after fear. But would that be the answer to the question? I think not. Because why is love so important? Well, because it shakes the soul, right? It shakes the soul the most in the best way, doesn't it? Fear is not comfortable. It's deranging, humiliating, inhibiting, paralyzing, crushing, judgmental. Love is a topic that I really like to avoid because it can mean so many things to different people. For some, it is an ideology. An ideology that is set in stone and that defines how things should be in a state of love. But eventually, we all agree that the bottom line is that when we love someone, we all want what is best for that person. In other words, we aim to direct each of our good vibes toward the loved one. When we are in love, we feel powerful, positive, fierce, excited, empowered, radiant, because love allows us and our souls to reach the very best state of being. We feel good when we are in love. We feel like we can do anything. Suddenly, even the most upsetting matters become a walk in the park. So, I have come up with my little definition of what love is. But bear in mind that this is only my definition, but the outcome of this will make sense to you as we go further into this episode. So here we go. Love, to me, is a voyage willingly undertaken by a soul within a tunnel or a labyrinth to visit another soul for the sole purpose of bringing a new substance to it that would grow it and empower it. Oh, damn. I think I should be a poet. Man, this is way too deep to stay on the surface. Alright, think about it for a minute before we continue. This is powerful. Jesus Christ, how do I come up with shit like this? Anyway, let's keep going. love connoisseurs have determined that there is a couple different kinds of love. I will not get into these specs because we might get lost in there. However, all those different kinds of love can be summarized into two categories: the kind we bear toward one another and the kind we bear toward ourselves, which is also known as self-love, isn't it? The former is quite interesting, but the latter is what we will be focusing on today, as I briefly mentioned in the introduction. Self-love is the love that is directed toward the self. Here, we already have a problem at hand. That is the fact that it is easy to contort the phrase into a muddling suggestion of the expression hands in the pants, because the quality of the love that we are talking about here depends largely on our perception of self-love. How do we perceive it? What does it mean to us? And what do we think it should mean to others? The self is the profound personality that we based our proper identity upon. That means that we all have a self. We all comprehend the nature of the self. However, the way we experience the self in regard to external stimuli is not necessarily the same, because the self is the self because it is not common. The self that is recognized by Jake when he says myself is not the same self that is recognized by Charlie when he says the same thing, is it? Common sense will say no. As a consequence, the self being righteous and always trying to do right by itself will operate under the paradigm that self-love is not necessarily conventional. See how intricate it's already starting to be? At this point, there is an obvious question that everyone will ask. How does it make sense that the self will try to do right by itself? Does it mean that the self also has a self? No, it's not that crazy. Let's break it down simply. Remember how we defined love earlier? It was so poetic that I lost myself in there for a minute. But put simply, we said that it was a trip through a tunnel willingly undertaken by a soul to visit another soul and to bring something to it, right? That is pretty much the definition. Now, if we must revert to that very definition while trying to break down self-love, what would that mean? Well, it would mean that self-love is a trip through a tunnel that a soul takes to visit itself. So here, in the case of self-love, the payer of the visit and the receiver of the visit happen to be the same self. Now, it's getting saucy, isn't it? Bear with me, we'll get there. Here, it appears crystal clear that the self is confronting itself. Every interaction that it might have will not be with any exterior entity. At that moment and only then will the self be able to explore and comprehend itself in terms of consistency by asking questions and providing answers. When we receive a visit in our den, before any further interaction, we would ensure that we acknowledge the person who is demanding entrance to our life secrecy, and then we would screen the person to ensure that he or she fits our moral character. Well, at least that is how most of us operate, isn't it? It makes perfect sense when we ask questions to a stranger to determine whether we should let him creep in our lives. But how odd and off-throwing is it when those questions are directed toward us? We roam about life, mostly sure that we know ourselves. that we are making moves, decisions, and actions that are good for us, because we are pretty sure that we understand what is good for us. But do we really know what is good for us? When the time comes to answer those questions, who are you? What are you doing here? Where am I? Am I you? Are you me? Why do I feel like I'm talking to myself? God damn it, I'm going crazy. Hold on, wait. What's your name again? What's my name? Bollocks, I need to be institutionalized. Now I'll be definitely going crazy in there. Now it's decided, I will off myself. Now, which one of you has ever tried to answer any of those questions as clearly and articulately as possible? Put pause and give it a try. I'm waiting for you. You are the one asking the question, and you are the one delivering an answer. But how can you affirm that you know what is good for you if you cannot even clearly formulate the answer to the question, who are you and what are you doing visiting your own self? And most importantly, what are you bringing? Are you confused now? Nah, this guy is bugging, right? Look, but all jokes aside though, tell me, why do you think whatever you are pursuing right now is good for you if you do not even properly comprehend who or what the self that I've been talking
about? This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ bar products plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
About since the beginning of this episode is, do you think you are doing the best for yourself because of the pleasure you get through the 5 senses? The smell of the food that you know damn well is detrimental to your health? Or maybe the taste of the Big Mac when you suck the milkshake through the straw? Or let's go even one step further, the feeling of pleasure when you release your semen in the shower? Because truthfully, you've got to ask those questions. This is basically what it means to love the self, doesn't it? Do good by it, right? So you must be thinking, if your senses are pleased, then you need not dive deeper. But if you want to be very honest with the fact, why do you feel desperate after those things? So miserable. Your mind slows down. You lose motivation. And little by little, you start to lose your self-love because you have sold it to whatever floats your boat. But what if, just what if, self-love is a little more than the immediate comfort? Just think about it. Just think about it. What if it is deeper than you caressing your weenie in the shower? Because there is more to the self than the surface. It runs deeper than what you feel when the tingling starts. When your immune tongue starts swirling and twirling around the bestly processed and symbol that you have ingurgitated out of greed. You are doing no good to the self by focusing on the stuff that only matters on a superficial plane. Because why would anybody hurt themselves if they really know what is good for them? And all that for the sake of sensual pleasures? That is another question that most people do not ask, because the answer might be more brutal than they can handle. Why are you eating junk food when you know it is bad for you? You'd say, well, because it tastes good. I feel good when I eat it, right? But when you do it, day after day, month after month, your volume increases. You're starting to have more and more difficulty standing upright because your stomach is getting heavier. You can no longer walk 3 miles without being out of breath. Your erection is getting limper and limper. Is that self-love? I hardly think so. Now shit is getting serious, ain't it? You are starting to see that self-love might not necessarily mean to love oneself the way one is, but rather to make oneself lovable to the self. Because it's easier to love yourself the way you are, but there is no pride in it. No one was ever commanded to love something that was insistently unlovable. Think about it. Have you ever met anyone who was ready to love someone else, the exact same way she or he is, without trying to change him or her for the best, without sinking in unhappiness and despair themselves? If you are a happy person, but then decide to love someone miserable, sad, unhealthy, judgmental, brittle, utterly negative, self-sabotaging, guess what is going to happen to you? Well, you'll soon be going down the rabbit hole yourself, right? And before you know it, you're going to be looking over your shoulder, trying to figure out where your best years went. And the same goes for yourself. The same goes for you as a self. Why would you love your flawed self if you have in you the power? Nah, fuck it. I should say, if you have in you the possibility to make it go easier. So, the possibility to build a self that is worthy of your love. The very process of rebuilding the self, of reshaping, reforming it in a way that its existence can be beneficial to both the self and the whole society, is what self-love really is. Self-love is not an act of coddling. It is hurtful, but not harmful. Have you ever heard people confess for some reason that they do not have any self-love? Surely you have, because you are living in the same world I am living in, right? Now, do you think those people do not want to love themselves? Absolutely not. Deciding to love the self is the easiest thing one can do. You just have to wake up one day and say, now I'm deciding to have self-love and self-respect. But that's not the main problem, is it? No. The main problem is to actually devote yourself to the decision of loving the self. But how do you love yourself if you have no respect for the self? You cannot love someone you do not respect now, can you? How do you respect someone you do not look up to? Someone who does not impress you by the many qualities that he or she is able to display in a society where those qualities are close to non-existent. The love is real, but the price to pay to have access to it is heavy. But it's worth it, because deciding not to love yourself can cost your soul. But deciding to try to love yourself might just be able to save it. How about that? After he reached awakening, the Buddha had noticed that a decent life is usually made up of the observance of a couple of principles that he decided to name the Eightfold Path. The Eightfold Path is a set of 8 principles that one must observe to make life worth living, because the Buddha saw that life is suffering that one cannot escape nor avoid. However, one can mitigate the disaster by allowing the self to live in a dignifying way. The Eightfold Path is listed as following. The right view, meaning one must tailor one's perception to life as it is, not as it appears. The right intention, meaning one must be wary of one's intentions, thoughts toward the self and others. The right speech, one must commit to do no harm to the self and others through speech. And this one is very special, because regardless of your beliefs, I'm pretty sure you're not oblivious to the fact that, you know, words have power. Are you? I thought not. The right action. One must act according to ethics and to commit to not harm self and others. The right livelihood, the way one lives, should be exemplified by the concept of virtues. The right effort. One must input the right amount of effort in an undertaking one has deemed right to explore. The right mindfulness. One must be aware of the vices, the body, the feelings, the emotions, and the mental state at any point in time. The right concentration. One must commit to building focused mind free of mindlessness. Those principles that, according to the Buddha, one must abide by are everything but easy to observe. We have most likely seen from our different interactions as social beings that seeing, perceiving, speaking, and acting, as well as behaving altogether, are more than what meets the eyes. We must deal with people's emotions. Then, our reactions to people's emotions, and the reactions our reactions inspire in people. In the process of doing that, we say and do the wrong things, see the wrong things, perceive things the wrong way, lose focus, and in a single interaction, we can break all the observances of the Eightfold Path. And that is just in a good day. So that means that she can even get dire. That's crazy, isn't it? The love that we must bring to ourselves consists mainly in acting right by ourselves. By the soul, properly speaking, which is the only way to speak rightful from and to ourselves. You can't possibly speak proudly to, for, and from the self if all your actions have been nothing but detrimental to it. So your speech must reflect your actions and vice versa. Loving the self has nothing to do with wearing your freshest outfit and bragging around the block. No. Loving yourself is wearing your freshest outfit and entering the tunnel, the labyrinth, fighting the demons lurking in there. Fight your urges to speak ill, to lose focus, to see wrong, to misbehave, to hurt yourself by indulging in self-destruction, and then appear magnificent on the other side of the tunnel with your outfit still fresh. The fresher you are after you came out of the tunnel, the more you love yourself, because your freshness is only the materialization of your heart, which is in turn the canal of expression of your soul when love is being manufactured. The heart can be dirty, but its consistency is pure. That is what makes us humans. Because dirty hearts equates to flaws, but pure heart equates to love. Love of the self, then love of the other. That means we all have dirty hearts because we all are flawed. But we can work into getting our hearts pure. That is love that we acquire, that we manufacture from the soul. You must hold yourself in high esteem to decide to achieve such a constraining feat voluntarily. Now, ask yourself, do I love myself? No need to answer. Just place yourself in front of your mirror and look straight into your eyes. Do not look at your beautiful face, or your beard, or your jaw line. No, look at yourself straight in your eyes and stare for a minute. You might scare yourself, boy. All you're seeing there is darkness, demise, ignorance, depression, lies, illusion. You'll see everything that flew out of Pandora's box. Life is cold. Sometimes you just need to let your skin grow sweaters. But some other times, you need to let your skin grow through the coldness. You need to face the observance of those 8 principles. And while you are at it, I trust you to find the truth about the self, because you are a small version of God. One cannot enlighten the sun. The brightness is within you. Act right. Speak right. Look right. Perceive properly. Be present with yourself. Live right, and you'll be able to face all the evil of the world with courage. Then, only then, will you be able to see the last thing that never came out of the Pandora's box. You will see hope. When you see hope, your eyes will glow. Your smile will show, and your heart and soul will see compassion. From compassion will love come, love for the self and love for the others. My name is Ice, and this is the Ice Pod. This is the very first episode that I'm doing in English, and we're talking about self-love. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye.